morning, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter number 2. Last Sunday, the message was Isaiah's Christmas message, and we're going to try to, if the Lord will continue to lead, every Sunday morning, we'll have some type of a message centered around that thought of the coming of our Lord, and some of them be a little different than a normal Christmas message, even as this one this morning is a little different. But we certainly realize that the reason that we have our season that's called Christmas is the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Gospel of Matthew and Luke tell us some of the details. Certainly does not give us, I'm sure, everything, but those things that we have heard from year to year about the coming of our Lord and the virgin birth of our Savior. There have been songs written, there have been books written, there have been stories told concerning that event. That is a historical event. It's not just something that's found in the Bible. It's a historical event that there was a man that was born. His name was Jesus, and had a particular message for his generation and for our generation also. He lived among men, and he was a man like every other person. He was a human being, but yet while he was that, he was also God in the flesh. We believe in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, that not only was man, but he was all God. The song a few years ago written, and when I read these words, you'll recognize the song. And it's just simply entitled, "There's Something About That Name." And Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And at that name, there have been many conflicts and many problems. He says, Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain, let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms will pass away, but there's something about that name. And this morning, I want to deal with that name called Jesus. We're not going to read the Christmas story. I'm going to make one reference to it here in just a moment. Well, I'll just read it now. Don't turn there. But in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says here concerning Mary, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, in Philippians chapter number 2, we don't normally think of this as a message around Christmas time, but in Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 5, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This morning I declare to you, and I believe we understand, that there is something about that name called Jesus. That name that's different than any other name that has ever been given to an individual, to a baby, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find here that word Jesus. It comes from a combination of two Hebrew words, Joshua, that we have in the Old Testament, and it just simply means eternal and to be safe. I'm glad this morning that even in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize that what we have is eternal and that we are safe in the Lord Jesus. And this morning, I just want us to think some things about the name of Jesus Christ. A good name, it's a great name that the world despises and hates. But you and I, we that are believers, we understand some things about this name of Jesus. Our verses that we read says, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Next verse says, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I read this morning, and heard this morning, rather, that they entombed the ashes of Fidel Castro there in Cuba. And as we think of people that we know of and that we have heard about, one thing is for sure, every person is going to die. On my computer, I have what's called a world clock. And I look at it every once in a while because it's just a continual counting of the world's population. It's divided up into many different political ways and many ways of people being born and dying and the different diseases. But the bottom line is our world is growing at a very rapid pace. There are people being born more rapidly than there are folks that are leaving this world. And so our population of the world continues to grow. It hasn't been too long ago, just a few years ago, that we were talking about the world's population being 6 billion people. Well, this morning it is over 7 billion people. It hasn't been too many months ago that we clicked over to that 7 billion mark, and now we're coming up on, according to that clock that is running, we're almost halfway between 7 billion and 7.5 billion in just a few months. And so rapidly we are a growing population. And there are people being born upon this earth, and many of them will never hear the gospel. They'll never hear this name that we take for granted so many times. If you look at the world's population, you'll have China is over 1 billion people. I think it's 1.3 billion. The country of India is 1.2 billion people. So in those two countries, you have almost a third of the whole world's population. And the shame of that is both of those countries literally are closed unto the preaching of the gospel and preaching of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The next group of people that's over a billion is the continent of Africa. Our Africa, of course, has many nations, but it is a continent, and that continent within itself has over a billion people. So almost a half of the world's population is in those three areas, and many of them will never and have never heard the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel tells us that he was born that he might save people from their sin. The gospel tells us that we are to go into all the world and preach that gospel and tell the world that Jesus saves. And we are losing the battle continually. And that does not change the effect that one day every knee shall bow. And one day every tongue shall confess as to who Jesus Christ is. You may be popular like a Castro and a defier of the things of the Lord. Or you may be a person that has never heard the gospel. Or we may be people that have heard the message over and over and over again. But the name of the Lord Jesus Christ makes the difference in where we spend eternity. This little period of time that we live in, that God has blessed us with and given to us, we are promised of the Lord that the average age of an individual is 70 years, or 70 years of age. There are some that do not make it that far. There are some that make it far beyond that. But the average that God says, that's the average age of mankind. And so we have a real short period of time that we have to do the work and we have to tell the world that there is a name above every name. At that name, every tongue shall confess. Every knee shall bow. At that name is the name where the Bible says that thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The world is in turmoil this morning. Our country is in distress this morning. Everything is going on that is unimaginable many times, and yet people do not want to hear the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the name of Jesus Christ, that's a good name that was given unto him. It simply means Master, it means Savior. He shall save his people. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 1, says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was not just a random picking of a name, but it's a name that the angels, and it's a name that was ordained of God, that he shall be called Jesus. It's prophesied to us in the Old Testament and comes to reality in the New Testament, and now today we worship that man. We worship that one that is God in the flesh, that lived a perfect life upon this earth and died as a sinner for sinners, taking our sins upon himself and dying that we might have eternity with him. It's a good name. It's an important name. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death and the day of one's birth. We are given names that are important to us, and down through history, different families have carried along traditions of different names for a purpose and for reason. And the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is that name that is given, and it's above every name. It's greater than all. Sometimes the names have different meanings, and sometimes even the names in the Word of God has different meanings that we can look at and can study the life and the history of that individual. But the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so that makes it above every name. There's no other name that we can bow to. There's no other person that we can bow unto that will help us spiritually or physically other than the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter number 1 and verse number 1 through 4 reads this way: God, who at sundry or different times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, but then it says, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the power of his power, by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sin. Thank God this morning he purged, he took away our sins. He said, set down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath and by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So the scripture tells us that he has a more excellent name. You can talk about the archangel Gabriel and Michael. You can talk about the different angelic beings that God has created. But the Lord Jesus, his name, he has a more excellent name even than the angels. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ has changed our lives forever. Thank the Lord this morning. There's a day that we can go back to and we can realize, one day I met Jesus Christ. Oh, we haven't seen him with our eyes. We haven't handled him with our hands as the disciples were able to do, but we have taken him by faith, and we can see in the Word of God what he has done for us and what he is providing for us and what he has yet in the future for us. He has changed our lives forever. We have bowed our hearts and our souls unto him, and certainly has brought about a difference and made a difference in each of us. The world may not bow to the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ in this life, but one day they will. As much as the heathen rage and as much as the ungodly spew out their ungodly words and do their ungodly deeds, one day they will bow at the foot of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will know who he is, and they will worship him, but it'd be too late then. You see, the time of our worship is now, while we are living and breathing. The time of our having Him as our Lord is when we come to Him and know that He is that one. And the world may not know Him, but they will one day. Just as they put the ashes in an urn there in a tomb there in Cuba of Fidel Castro, and don't believe what half of the news media tells about him and what some of the other crazy people try to tell you about him. He was an ungodly, a very deceivable, ungodly individual that hated God and hated everything about God. I remember when he took over. I'm old enough to remember. I was a kid. I was a young kid. But I still remember all the affairs and the things and some of the atrocities that he had no regard for life. But one day, you know what? He's going to be like every other person that's ever lived, that we may never know his name. One day he'll bow to God. One day he'll put his hands and he'll realize who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and his mouth will make confession as to who he was. I'll tell you what, it's a whole lot better to do it here right now than it is then. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know what it means to be born again, and you that are saved, we know what it means to have life eternal given to us. And so the world may not bow to him, but he was born one day and he was given the name Jesus. And later on, where we read there in the book of Philippians, Paul says that name is above every name. Paul tells us that that name every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And what are they going to confess? That Jesus Christ is Lord. Praise the Lord. He's master. He's over it all. He's supreme ruler. And before it's all said and done, before everything's closed down as far as time is concerned, every individual that's ever lived will recognize and they'll pay homage to the Lord of glory. I'm glad I know him this morning. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Thank God this morning I've been placed in his family. I'm part of his people. As a child of God this morning, you are put in the family of the Lord just like I. We are a part of his people. And so therefore he came to save us from our iniquity, from our sin, from our ungodliness. Man left himself. He's not going to better himself. He's not going to be better. He's not going to do better. He's not going to turn over a clean leaf. Man left himself is wicked and ungodly and undone, and we must have a Savior. And thank God his name is Jesus. Here in a few weeks on Christmas Day, we'll think about the birth of our Lord, and we'll maybe sometimes around the family we'll read the Christmas story, or some even here at church we'll read the story of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God I know him not only as a baby, but thank God as a Savior. Not as a little babe in a manger that came to lowly parents that didn't even realize all that was going on in their life. That young husband and wife that were betrothed to each other, they had a child and they didn't understand all the ramifications at that moment. But that same child that was born, thank God he lived a life that was perfect without sin, and therefore I can call upon him and I can confess my sins unto him, and he's faithful and just to forgive me. Why? Because he died on Calvary that I might have life. What a wonderful story we have in the life, the birth and life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why bow to the name of Jesus? Every knee shall bow. Why bow in time and not in eternity? Why do it in this moment? There may be someone in this building today that's, you may be religious, but that doesn't mean you're saved. You may be a church member, but that doesn't mean you're a member of God's family. You may have gone through all the things that churches tell us to do that they've added to the Scripture. We may have gone through all the details that's given. We may have been indoctrinated by their doctrine, but we've never called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It does not matter how religious we are. It does not matter how much we go to church. It does not matter how much we do in the affairs of religion. The Bible says we must call, we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the Christmas story, by the way. That's the message that we have. But why bow at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, his name is the only name in which we find salvation. I've already been talking about that. It is in that name that we are saved. I'm not saved because I was raised in a particular family. I'm not a Christian today because my family were Christians. I'm saved because one day I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. Personally, I did it myself. Something that I took care of, that God came to me and made me realize I was lost and I was undone. I needed God. And the only thing I needed was to call upon Him, and that took care of my eternity. Religion adds a lot of junk to salvation, but salvation is an event that we meet God and we confess our sins and He saves us, period. And so this morning, we bow at the name of Jesus Christ because it is at that name we find salvation. A lot of verses we could read. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received them, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. John 20 and verse 31. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Acts chapter 2, verse 21. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What wonderful passages those are. Those are dogmatic. Those are instantaneous happenings that come to us. Acts 4:12 that we read, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 John 3:23, and this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son Jesus Christ and love one another as He gave us commandment. Every one of those verses tells us there's something special about the name Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. He is that one that stands before us today and says, would you come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He is that one, yes, that was born in a manger, but thank God there's more to His life than just His birth and placed in a lowly manger. We bow to Him because in that name we find deliverance. In His name, if you're here today and you're going to heaven the same way everybody else is. There's not a Baptist way and another way and another way and another way. There's only one way, and that's Jesus' way, the Son of God. And the Scripture is very plain as it tells us. 1 John 2:12 says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. He died to cleanse our sin. And He said, if you come to me, I'll wash them away. And so we are saved this morning. We are delivered this morning. We are forgiven this morning for His name's sake. Religion puts a lot of stuff. You know, the devil, he's sly. He's very, very deliberate. He's cunning. And he's deceiving. He'll put a lot of good things with this doctrine of salvation. There are those that tell us, well, you get saved, but just to be sure, you got to do this or do that, or you got to get baptized, or you got to do something else. All that's what religion puts with us. My Bible says all I have to do is call upon His name. Isn't that clear? Isn't that plain? Isn't that easy to understand? So we find that it is the only name whereby we find forgiveness of sins. Our sins, past, have been forgiven. Well, those are the things that the devil brings up to us all the time. Our sins, present, thank God they are forgiven. The devil's a master at bringing up my past sins. He's a master at bringing up right at the moment when I'm doing something I shouldn't. And he said, yeah, if you was a Christian, you wouldn't do that. He's a master of bringing those things to our minds to put doubt in our hearts. But my sins have been forgiven. My past, my present, and guess what? My sins that I will do tomorrow, because they will be present then, they will be forgiven. Now that's not a license to go out and just do what we want to do. Paul addresses that in some of his writings. He said, God forbid that we call it where grace abound, or where sin abound, grace is much more abound, so therefore do we sin more so that there'll be more grace. Paul said, God forbid, that's not what we're talking about. Before there is sin, thank God there is grace. Wherever it is, whatever it is, thank the Lord, our sins have been forgiven. Acts chapter 13, verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. You know who this man is? Sure you do. Jesus Christ. So he is the one that we find salvation. He is the one that we find forgiveness of our sins. In his name and his name only, through which we find and have answered prayer. Aren't you glad we can pray one for another? Brother Sisson called me this morning, and he wanted us to pray for Mary. We've prayed for him a lot, and he said, I'm sure you're here and have read all the problems. Mary has cancer, breast cancer. She had surgery, and the cancer has spread to lymph nodes. And he said, we'll find out Friday just to what extent. He said, would you all pray for us? And you know, it's a privilege to be able to pray for somebody else. Because all of us, somewhere in our life, we either have had or we will have to have, and we'll need somebody praying for us. I've had people pray for me. You've had people pray for you. And when somebody calls especially, he said, I knew you'd be at church Sunday morning. He said, you're an hour behind us. I know it's before Sunday school. He said, would you please have your church pray for my wife? And it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that we have answers to our prayers. John chapter 14. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Why did the Lord say that? Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. He gives you the answer, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What Jesus does for us is to glorify all of heaven. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Somebody says, well, that's not true because I've asked this and asked that and he's never done it. And we are surely smart enough to understand that the Lord does the things that we ask according to his will. I'm glad he hadn't answered some of my prayers. I'm glad he knew better than I did on some of the things I've prayed for. And he didn't answer them the way I wanted him to answer. But I'm glad he answers the prayer according to what he knows about me and what I'm facing around the corner over the hilltop. I'm glad the Lord answers those, and he said, if you ask it in my name. Now, if we don't ask it in his name, you can forget it, because we even pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we find that this name, Jesus, there's just something about that name. It's the only one that will have victory in our life over Satan. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Those disciples, they had power that they didn't even understand, but they said, Lord, even the devils, the demons, are subject unto us because of your name. They understood the importance of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll guarantee you one thing, if you're going to do battle with the devil, you better do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Better do it in his power and his presence, because we're no match for him. He'll trick us. He'll trip us up. He'll defeat us. He'll despitefully use us. If we don't depend on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are already down for the count. But through His name, we have victory over sin and Satan. His name is the only name through which we find assurance. I'm glad this morning. Even His name means eternal. It means safe. 1 John 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you, John says. He said, I've written these things to you. You read the Gospel of John. You read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. John says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Why did He write these things to us that believe? John answers the question, that you may know that you have eternal life. I'm glad I don't have to say this morning, I hope I'm going to heaven. I'm glad I don't have to say, well, if I do good enough, maybe He'll take me. I'm not going to make it if that's the case. Well, I hope I've done enough good works that they'll outweigh my bad works. You're already on the balance on the wrong end of the scale. Because our bad works outweigh our good works. But there's one work that tips the balance our way. And that's the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. When He said, it is finished, brother, it's finished. And through His name, I have understanding. Sure, I falter. Sure, I fail. Sure, I sin. Just like all of us do. I don't have to go back and beg God to save me again, but I do go back and say, God, forgive me where I have failed. He loves me. And through His name, I have an assurance. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That's pretty point blank. How do you know you're going to heaven, preacher? I know it because of what Jesus did for me on Calvary. It's not what I've done for Him. It's not what I have accomplished for Him. But it's what He did for me. He purchased my life. He purchased my salvation. He purchased my soul. He made me a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's why we bow to the name of the Lord. It is His name only in which God has placed His authority. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of His glorious inheritance in His saints and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. The next verse says, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, He's above that, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body. Matthew 28:18 says, Jesus spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. So you see this name that the angel told Joseph, Mary, call His name Jesus. This name has a particular place not only in our heart, but has a particular place in all of history. And He will have a particular place in all of eternity at His name. At His name, all these good things come to pass. All the things I've mentioned this morning have been great. We have sins forgiven. We have a life that's been changed. All those things that we've gone over, all because of this man called Jesus. But there's the other side of the story. at His name, it is the only name that brings condemnation to the unbeliever. John 3:18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Praise the Lord. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's important what we believe about Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 15, verse 4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest or made known. You and I this morning, we have an identity. And our identity is in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We believe He is the Son of God. We believe He is that one that was born of a virgin, laid in a manger, lived a life that was without sin, did not, could not sin. He was God, and He is still God. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. We have a message to tell the world, and that message is simply two words: Jesus saves. My identity is not just as a Richardson. My identity is not just as I'm a Baptist, but more importantly than all those things that you can think of, our identity is that we are Christian. And that is because of what Jesus Christ did when He was here on earth. My Bible tells me that I'm beloved of God. The Lord hath appeared over me, saying, yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3. My identity is that I'm a child of God. 1 John 3:1. My identity is that He delights in you and I. Zephaniah, Old Testament, chapter 3. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. Good identity. I have been forgiven. We've gone through that. My Bible tells me that I've been washed clean. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. My Bible tells me that I'm identified as a person that has been set free. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. I've been adopted. Oh, praise the Lord. Been adopted into the family of God. There's the process that we know we're birthed into it, but there is a process of adoption that we've been placed into His family. Romans 8:15. I've been made righteous. I've been made a saint. Don't have to have nobody condone or have pronounced sainthood on us. As soon as you get saved, you're a saint of God. We've been set apart. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. My identity is that I'm never alone. The New Testament says He'll never leave me, never forsake me. Deuteronomy in the Old Testament says, the Lord, it is He that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Don't be shocked. God's always with us. List could go on and on. The last one I'll use. Psalm 139, verse 14. I'm identified in Christ in that I am wonderfully made. Physically and spiritually. I will praise thee, the psalmist says, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You and I this morning, physically we are wonderfully made. These bodies are a miraculous instrument that God has put upon this earth. I heard the other day, in one day, how many times the heart beats. It's amazing. I couldn't believe it. How many times we breathe and we don't even think about breathing. Aren't you glad you don't have to think every time you breathe? I got to breathe now. Oh, we're wonderfully made. The system of blood vessels and veins that go through our body and all the organs of our body that keep us alive. How in the world could that just happen? How could evolution bring that about? Only God could do that. The eyesight, to be able to look and be able to see something through just two little spots in our face. To be able to hear. To be able to articulate words and to communicate. To be able to have a doctor take us apart and put us back together and be shocked at how good it goes, somebody mentioned this morning. We're wonderfully made. That's on the physical side. Can you imagine the spiritual side? What the Lord has done for us spiritually. We that deserved hell deserved the devil over us. Somehow, some way, for some reason, He snatched us out of the grip of sin and placed our feet upon a solid rock. That's the faith that we have that delivers us. And it doesn't matter if we're in Madisonville, Kentucky. It doesn't matter what part of the world we may find ourselves in, God is always the same. And whether I'm here or whether I'm there, I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. May we apply that to our life and have that as a pivotal, foundational stone when the world comes at us and tries to make us doubt, tries to make us fear. It is God that has made us, not we ourselves. It is God that has remade us. And when the doubter comes or the mocker comes, just have in your heart, I know how I'm made. I know who made me. I know who regenerated me. And His name is Jesus. So this holiday season that we're in, wherever we find ourselves, I'm glad God's there. I'm glad our Lord is there. I'm glad He'll take care of us. And from now till the day we die, what I've said this morning about the Lord Jesus Christ is always true. And it'll be said and re-said generation after generation because truth never changes. Always the same. Somebody wrote out here, we have a little board here at the kitchen. Somebody wrote one day, when you tell the truth, you don't have to remember what you said. That's good. When you tell the truth. Now, if you tell a lie, you got to remember all the details. You can't do it. How do you know? Believe me, you can't do it. Truth is always truth. Never changes. He is truth. Pilate said, what is truth? Well, I've tried to give you this morning the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if we're in Kentucky, Australia, Cody, California. It doesn't matter where we are. Truth is truth. He never changes. What is truth? One word, Jesus. Let's stand together this morning.